busy time. Right now, the president preparing to leave Brussels, going to England. This NATO conference, very much about Germany in particular, but also about many of the nations and their contributions to NATO, and President Trump saying it's insufficient.
Well, of course, the president should say that, and the NATO allies that we count on should contribute more. The bottom line is true, but you know, here's the other thing we have to consider. The NATO alliance has been the most effective military alliance in modern times. Since World War II, we have stopped the spread of communism. We have protected Europe and our allies from the invasion of Russia that followed the Soviet Union, and NATO allies have stood by us when we needed them. In the war in Afghanistan, it is a NATO effort, and in that effort, for example, the Canadians, one of our NATO allies, have turned around and lost over 150 of their soldiers standing side by side with Americans. So it's an alliance where people not only talk big, but they produce. And when the president undermines the confidence that these allies have that the United States is committed to NATO, it's not a good thing.
So it's not so much about money when you talk about it, but it's about rhetoric when you talk about the president and NATO.
Absolutely. The president calling NATO obsolete, I mean, he spends more time critical of our NATO allies than he does of Vladimir Putin. Putin and Russia are the reason for NATO. We have NATO coming together to stop the aggression and expansion of Putin. And if you wonder, well, is he still as dangerous? For goodness sakes, he tried to undermine the United States election, and he might do it again this time. This man is not our friend. NATO allies are.
All right. You know, when it comes to the Supreme Court, the number of justices, we've already had one and another one, as you remarked just before we went on the air, a very uncommon opportunity is coming in very quickly.
It is, and it's rare, you know, and the U.S. Senate have a special responsibility to interview each of the justices, the nominees for justice, and to look at their backgrounds, and that's going to take a while, but we'll do it, as we should, in an orderly way. I know Judge Kavanaugh. I've dealt with him before when he went to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and he certainly has all the educational qualifications, legal qualifications to fill this job. The obvious question is, where does he stand? What will he do to change the court? Justice Kennedy, who's retiring, was a swing vote. He went back and forth, and the court kind of stayed close to the center line because Kennedy was going back and forth. We, I think, are really going to ask questions as to whether Judge Kavanaugh will do the same. Will he be a moderating influence, or will he push the court too far?
When do you think those confirmation hearings will begin, Senator?
Well, Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman, the Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary, said it should take us about 60 days to gather all the information. That puts it sometime in September. I think it's likely toward the end of September we will have a hearing. Judge Kavanaugh comes before us, and then the matter comes to the floor.
Senate voted yesterday in response to the tariffs levied by the president under the heading of national security that needs the approval of Congress. The vote yesterday, 88-11 in the Senate.
And it's an indication, I think, of people who believe that we should be strong and tough on trade issues, but worry that perhaps this administration's gone too far. I had a room full of soybean farmers come see me yesterday. One, I guess the closest one I can remember, was from Columbia, Illinois, to your station, and talking about what they're going through. Because of the president's trade war that he now has initiated, they've seen a 20% decline in soybean and corn prices. So for farmers, it means a crop in the field that's worth a lot less than they anticipated. It means that they're going to be spending less money at the end of it and worried about our reliability as a supplier. Tom, we're lucky. We live in a state with the best farmers in America, and I can prove it. We produce more soybeans than any other state. We're good at it, and God blessed us with the right soil and sunshine to make it work. But they can't compete with one hand tied behind their back. And if they're in the midst of a trade war with a major, major trading partner like China, our farmers are going to really be the ones in the front line of this trade battle.
You know, it's interesting. In some polling, I'm seeing what American voters are saying, number one on their subject matter when it comes to the upcoming election politics right now, and it's immigration. And there's a couple of headings here that we want to hit. One, the separation of children. This morning, I believe it is, they are saying now that the Trump administration announcing yesterday that all migrant children under age of 5 who were separated at the U.S.-Mexican border will be reunited with their parents by this morning.
I hope that's true. I tell you what, I'm skeptical, and I'll tell you why. 3,000 children were forcibly removed from their parents under this zero-tolerance policy before President Trump reversed himself and said, we're going to stop doing it. 3,000. And they are arguing that only 100 were under the age of 5. Tom, I'll tell you why I'm skeptical. I went to a center up in Chicago. 66 of the children are there. A third of them, 22 of them, were under the age of 5. So when they say only 100 out of 3,000 were under the age of 5, I'm skeptical. I don't believe that number. And I will tell you, seeing these little children and reading the stories about when they're reunited with their parents is a heartbreaking situation. We should never have done this. This is over the edge. I'm glad the president reversed himself on it. But for goodness sakes, reunite these kids with their parents as quickly as possible.
This separation of children and parents at the border, didn't this happen during the Obama administration and before? In the Bush administration.
It didn't happen, and I'll tell you in this regard. This zero-tolerance policy said that anyone who comes to the border, presents themselves at the border, and is not legally entitled to come in the United States would be treated under the Trump policy as a criminal. Now, a misdemeanor for sure, but a criminal. And then it follows that their children would be removed from these alleged and suspected criminals. And that's one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, 3,000 kids were put into a system. And I've seen those kids. Listen, it's not healthy. Any father or grandfather is going to tell you that when you look at it in the eyes of a 5-year-old kid who is separated from mother, father, and in a strange circumstance for days on end, this is not a healthy thing.
When I was reading recent comments by you, and I wonder whether they were properly attributed, you called ICE a bunch of incompetence?
Listen, I'll tell you why. To think that we took 3,000 kids away, and I sat down with ICE and I said, okay, tell me how many parents you know, you can identify, who lost their kids. And this was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today, they said 10. 10 out of 3,000? Listen, you go into a restaurant and check your coat at the door. They give you a little tag, and you get your coat back at the end. You go take your child to a hospital. They put a plastic bracelet on their wrist so they don't get lost in the hospital. And here we are removing kids from parents, and we can't find the parents. We can't find the kids. That is not competency. Most presidents would clean house when something that outrageous occurred, and that's what I was pointing at.
As we conclude this morning, Mike Pompeo and, of course, Secretary of State now, and his last visit to North Korea, I think North Korea calling it regrettable, saying gangster-like ideas, but clearly did not go as well as the preceding meetings.
Well, I can tell you this. We've seen this movie before. The North Koreans give a big smile and a big handshake and pose for pictures, and then go right back to producing nuclear weapons and threatening everybody in sight. And that's what's happened. The president had his Singapore meeting. I'm for diplomacy. I want people to be talking rather than fighting. But when it was all over, he didn't get anything from it. And now they're back to their old tricks, and they're calling us gangsters. So, I mean, I'm with Ronald Reagan on this one. It may sound strange for a Democrat to say it. Trust but verify. Make sure that everything they promise you, they actually do. And in this circumstance, we can't take it for granted that a smiling Kim Jong-un has promised that nuclear weapons are coming out of North Korea.
We've only got a couple of seconds left. What's on the menu right now, Senator Durbin, that you'd like to point out to our listeners?
Pass the Farm Bill. We passed it in the Senate. The House is struggling with theirs. We need to get together in a conference and pass that very quickly. In addition to that, I'm worried about what's going on with health insurance. This idea of denying coverage to people with pre-existing condition or charging them more than they can possibly pay is really worrisome. The idea of let's get rid of Obamacare, let's get rid of the Affordable Care Act, and there's no replacement, the net result is a lot of people listening here are going to see health insurance costs go up pretty dramatically.
Senator Dick Durbin, as always, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, Tom.